K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Amen, amen, and amen. It's yours truly, Pastor Robert C. Lee of New Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church, located at 1623 McEnry, M-C-E-N-E-R-Y, in Alexandria, Louisiana, where we have Sunday worship every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and Bible study every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Amen, praise God. On this Sunday coming, which will be the 15th, the third Sunday of the month, we will be celebrating our Usher's Annual at 2:30 p.m. Amen. The First New Light Missionary Baptist Church will be the guest church, and words of encouragement will be coming from Reverend Thomas D. Sands. Amen. Looking forward to seeing you in the place as we celebrate people who serve the Lord to the best of their ability. Amen. Praise God. Now, as we all know, we are going through some trying times right now. Amen. And I want to encourage everyone who has not been vaccinated to be vaccinated. Amen. And also be mindful when you go out in public to wear your mask, especially when you're in crowds of people. Put on a mask so that we can all stay safe, because the cases are rising. The only positive thing that's happening, but the numbers are very high, but like I say, the only positive thing that is happening is that people are not dying as rapidly as they was when COVID-19 first hit. So we want to give God glory for that. And there are people who are recovering, amen. And we want to continue to pray for those that are affected by the disease, and that God would continuously manifest healing in their bodies. Amen. So we just come to the Lord and say, oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We ask you to destroy and remove any deception in our mind in Jesus' holy name. Expose the dogs nipping at our heels, and we ask you, O Lord, Jesus, to confound those that are coming against us, and to destroy all sickness, disease, and physical maladies, along with all their effects, stings, and adverse side effects. Destroy the destroyer that is coming against us. I speak divine health over, in, and through our bodies. I declare total chemical and mental balance over and through our bodies. Give us, O Lord, a sound and sober mind, long life, longevity in spirit and mind, all the days of our life. Destroy the plans and schemes of man, that all dark forces that may come up against us. Lord, we ask you to strengthen us and protect us in all areas of our lives. Lord, we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus for energy to abound in and through us in abundance. Scatter those from him and keep those from him who you don't want near us. Oh, Father God, we pray, oh Lord, that our sleep will be a sleep sweet sleep. Oh, Father God, we pray restoration in our lives. We pray that your joy will abound in and through our hearts and minds to cause us that so our eyes will be able to behold your beauty, you, oh, your glory, and order our path. For your name's sake, oh Lord, let peace infill us, bring us into your secret place, your loving presence, your tender mercy, your joy and comfort in all areas of our soul. Oh, Father God, we pray that you cause us to rest and not be stressed. Fill us with rivers of freshness every moment of every day. Oh, Lord, we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus to reveal every source of wrong prayers, all trickery and deceit, and let all hidden things be revealed. I pray, oh, Lord, that all forms of deception will be exposed and driven out and thrown into the abyss with all its lies, effects, and adverse effects, and stings never to return in Jesus' name. Let the veil be torn to allow us to see through the haze and the smoke screens and the schemes, the plans of man and the enemy, and know absolutely what your truth is. We pray this according to John 14:14. To God be the glory. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Let us continue to pray for each other. Y'all heard that song that say, you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And together we can watch God change some things. Amen. God can turn any given situation around. All we got to do is just put our trust in him and call upon him and ask him for his help. And he will. Oh, yes, he will. Hey, because remember in his word, he said he will never leave us, nor will he forsake you. And then when Jesus sent the 12 disciples out, he said, lo, I'll be with you always. And I just want to thank him right now. Because truly God is a good God. Praise God Almighty. Praise God Almighty. Now, my brothers and sisters, as we all know, you know, we have a tendency to always try to, how can I say, dictate our path. But I heard somewhere a long time ago that we need to turn our life and our will over to the care of God. Amen. And when we turn it over to God, is that we are putting God, letting God be in control of everything. Now, I would like for you to take a quick look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. And I will start with that second verse. Amen. And the second verse starts out, well, let's start with the first verse. The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, that first verse states, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Amen. Remember, the Bible encourages us to meditate on him day in and day out. Amen. The Bible wants us to stay focused on the Lord. And if we stay focused on the Lord, he will prepare us. Amen. And as he prepare us and we'll focus on him, because I'm a firm believer that as a man thinketh, what he thinks is what enters into his heart. And what enters into his heart is what he live, is what he project in life. Because you heard that scripture that said, it's not what goes in a man that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of a man that defiles it. Because whatever comes out of a man comes from his heart. Amen. So whatever is in your heart. So as we focus on the Lord, then we are allowing the Lord to be in our heart. As we study the word of God, then we are allowing the word of God to be in our heart. As we focus on the love of God, then we are allowing the love of God to be in our heart. For remember, the second commandment say, love thy neighbor. Hey, man, y'all know the rest. And now that second verse goes on to say, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his spirit. You see, my brothers and sisters, there are a lot of times when we do things, we think we're doing things the right way, or we think we're doing things the best way that we can. Amen. But have you ever done something and you realize, you think that you're doing it right and you're not in error, not at fault? And then someone comes along and say, now you know you was wrong for that. Or someone comes along and say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You see, my brothers and sisters, we if we rely on our own minds, our own concepts, our own precepts, then nothing that we do is wrong. But when we go to the Word of God, then we find out where we've fallen short at. You see, because remember, the Word encourages us to do what? Examine ourselves. Let every man examine himself. Remember when the accusers brought the woman who had committed adultery before Jesus. And Jesus said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And when they examined themselves, they walked away one by one. Amen. And the second part of this verse says, but the Lord weighed the spirit. Because the Lord is not looking at what's on the outside. You see, because we can go to the barbershop and get our hair cut and look good. Amen. We can go to the beauty shop and get our, women, y'all can go to the beauty shop, get your hair and your nails done and look good. We can go to the store and buy clothes and we can dress up the outside and make the outside look good, but the inside is tore up from the flow up. Y'all don't hear me now. I say it's tore up from the flow up. And that's what God is looking at, because God is working on the inside so that it will be projected on the outside. Amen. So God is weighing your spirit. Remember I said earlier, it's not what goes in a man that defiles a man, but it what comes out of a man that defiles a man. Amen. And then the third verse goes on to say, commit thy works unto the Lord, that and thy thoughts shall be established. See, my brothers and sisters, just simply said, when you're being about God's business, amen, when you're thinking about doing things for the glory of God, amen, when you're thinking about going to church when the church doors are open, when you're thinking about going to Bible study when it's Bible study, when you're thinking about going to the special functions of the church and doing meeting with the auxiliaries of the church and just going about it, just telling people what thus said the Lord, being a true disciple of Christ. Amen. He will direct your thoughts, and your thoughts will be established upon him. You see, my brothers and sisters, it's all about being about God's business. It's all about being about God's business. It's all about being about God's business. So today, my brothers and sisters, I just want to ask you, whose business are you about? Amen. Today, my brothers and sisters, I want to know, when you met someone or you looked at the person, did you smile? Amen. When you woke up with your neighbor or with your family or with your husband or with your children, did you say good morning to them? Did you greet them with a loving atmosphere? Did you project a kind atmosphere toward them? You see, my brothers and sisters, God wants us to treat everybody right. Amen. But in order to treat everybody right, you got to treat yourself right. Amen. You see, when you're putting the focus on God, then you're putting the focus on being about God's business. And when you're being about God's business, I'm a firm believer that he will take care of your business. You see, I'm a witness to that today, because I know God is taking care of my business. I may not have what the next man have. I may not be the richest man on earth, but I have everything that I stand in the need of. That's because I choose to put God first. So I want to encourage you today to stay strong in the Lord and be all about God's business. Praise God Almighty. Praise God Almighty.
Thank you for tuning in today to the New Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church, where everybody is somebody. To correspond with this ministry, make checks or money orders payable to the New Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church or NPMBC, 1623 McHenry Avenue, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71301. You may reach the church at 318.
Hey, won't let me hold my peace.
This is KAYT KQJO right here in Alexandria, 88.1 FM on your dial. In Monroe, we're 98.9 FM. Shreveport, we're 92.5. St. Joseph Natchez, we're 99.3 FM. And in Lake Charles, we're 100.1 FM. Right now, we're going to go to what we call our community service segment, where we interact and dialogue with community people and community leaders. And right now, I have on the line with me, I'm quite sure that you've heard about the current situation with the Rapides Parish School Board situation. And right now we have one of our bus drivers on the line, and he's going to kind of dialogue with us and just let us know what's going on with that particular issue. I'm quite sure you've been checking it out on the news, KALB, and you might have even seen him on news earlier this week or last week. But right now I have Pastor Greg Tenney on the line with me, and he's going to elaborate to just give us some information as to what's unfolding and what has transpired in the last week since school started back. Pastor Tenney, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
God bless you, sir. How are you on today?
God bless you. I'm doing fantastic.
Great, great, great. Listen, we understand, and I'm quite sure with the whole Rapides school board system, there's just been a series of events unfolding for students as well as drivers. Can you just briefly elaborate and tell us from your perspective what's going on?
Okay, yes, my brother. Bishop, there's been a lot of turmoil with this changing of routing that we have. We had a school board meeting, and all of the school board members voted for this change except, I think his name is Barris. And he voted to delay it, and you know they implemented this program, and the superintendent of schools, along with the assistant and the transportation director, stated that that the school that they no longer had they no longer had access to the routes that the drivers had previously. And that really is a lie because twice a year, and you're a bus driver, you know, twice a year, we have to turn in what we call our route description.
That's right.
That gives every direction of the route. So they may not have had the programming, but they have access to the routes and the route description. So, and all of the bus drivers knew their routes anyway. And all that we would have had done is if there were new things routes implemented, it's those few that didn't know it that they would get the opportunity to learn it. But they told the school board that they didn't have access to it, and the school board just inquired. They you know, I got the opportunity to speak, but they didn't just hear the bus drivers. They didn't ask them any questions. And I've been driving over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't ask any questions about it, and they just went along with it. And they had the audacity to say, we spent too much time on this. Well, you had a meeting for about 30 minutes, and if 30 minutes is too long to try to get this straight, then what are we paying school board members to sit there and try to make the safest and wisest decision? But one thing, Bishop, is not wise to bring a change of routes to both drivers, and the school is taking in 3 days prior to it.
So let me ask you this, because let me just ask you this, because the change, we keep talking about the change, but what was the change? Why was this change implemented? Because, you know, rumor has it that, you know what, that a lot of the drivers have had more work put on them and that they've been given more work and still getting the same pay. So what, in your eyesight, what brought about this sudden change? And would you say that the bus drivers had any input into this new program that they've implemented that has caused all the chaos that's going on right now?
No, the bus drivers didn't have any input. The administration made these decisions along with the school board. They didn't come to the bus drivers and talk to them about anything of that nature. And those are who better to talk to about that is the bus driver.
Yes, sir.
It's just been a big disaster, and I believe that the previous director of transportation had this program, and it wasn't implemented. So because they let him go, but because this program wasn't implemented, they forced it this year. And that's just not right. It's improper. It's too fast, too soon, because what you're doing, Bishop, you're putting the load on the parents, the children, the drivers, the schools, all of it as well. And there's a big chaos because some kids are not don't know what bus to ride, not getting on their buses. And then a lot of them are walking, that you have pedophiles that are out there. You have little young girls walking down the street.
Yes, sir.
And you don't know what happened. Then parents have to be to work a certain time in the morning, and they have to try to worry about getting their kids to school. And this can lead to termination of their job for being late.
That's right.
And it's a whole lot that goes to this that they didn't even take the time to look into. You know, it's just that what they wanted to do and what they thought should have been implemented last year wasn't, and so they threw it at the bus job.
So let me just get you with this, Pastor, because right now there has a rumor out that they have a $150,000 program that they implemented that was supposed
That's
to strategically
right.
put in place from a computer-wise all of the routes and this, that, and the other. But if you talk to several bus drivers, even the route system that they put together is still not in conjunction. Yeah, it's still not in conjunction with the students. And so there's still mayhem that is unfolding on a day-to-day basis. Many children that had gotten used to their past drivers, they don't know the new drivers. Some of them don't know where they live. They don't know their addresses.
No.
Many of the teachers have been putting kids on the wrong buses. It has just been a series of events unfolding. But again, one of the things that I heard at the meeting myself was that they were saying, we're doing all this for the children. And my question is, if you're doing this for the children, why in the middle of an upsurge of COVID-19, not to mention Delta variant, and so now we've been hearing that on the news that children have been catching this, why would you take all of these routes now, consolidate them, and put the children in harm's way by overloading the buses? Can they really say that they had the children's best interest at heart by doing such things?
I say that they don't have the children's best interest at heart because, and they call them their precious cargo. And again, the school board members sit there in their chairs and making these decisions and don't really know what's going on, but making these decisions to do these things. And if the children's best interest at heart, you wouldn't have 60 or more kids on the bus.
Yes, sir.
If the children's best interest at heart, you know, you're familiar.
Yes, sir.
Those buses have 11 and a half seats. I say 11 and a half because the two back seats are really, they're not full seats.
Right.
So you can only, if you put two to a seat, that's 46 kids. So how in the world are you going to get 50, 60 kids, or 60 or more kids on the bus and social distance?
Yeah.
You would have to put them three to a seat. And that's not social distancing. These kids are carrying this.
Yes.
And then they get off the bus and they go again. Another thing, they're not doing the proper quarantine to these buses because when kids test that COVID-19, they should take the bus, but the bus should be sterilized first. I mean, you know, they give us these little containers that carry this sanitizer that really don't work. That is the cheapest things you can buy, and they don't work.
Yes, sir.
You can go to Lawrence Buffet and get a defogger that costs $149 with a whole gallon that'll last 900 rounds,
mm-hmm.
and it fogs everything. But there's no safety in it at all.
So let's just switch gears here for just for a moment. Now, and also it's been stated that Mr. Jeff Powell also said that the bus drivers had enough time to adjust and things of that nature. So what do you say in regards to that comment that was made on the news? They said that he was on the news and he stated that the drivers had enough time. To my knowledge, that many people didn't get their routes until Thursday and some didn't get them until Friday, and school started that Tuesday. Now, granted, bus drivers are off on Saturdays and Sundays. Am I right?
Right.
So if you discount those days and you discount Friday or Thursday, and then Monday, and school starts Tuesday, that's 3 days all day long, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And on top of that, they're off on Saturday and Sunday, and they're getting an extra pay for going out there riding their routes and learning their route descriptions or whatever. And the thing of it is that it was not enough time. The bus drivers was not notified.
Exactly.
And you can go to any bus driver, and they'll tell you that they weren't notified. You're a bus driver.
Yeah.
No, none of the bus drivers were notified about any of this. And there are bus drivers that's quitting and retiring right now.
How many? How many, to your knowledge, right now have quit and resigned because of this dilemma that has happened?
To my knowledge, you at least have 9 bus drivers that quit throwing in the towel.
And that's just
you know, I was gonna come back this year. I thought about coming back this year, but nowhere in the world I'm gonna come back and drive a bus. A bishop, you got 60 some kids on a bus.
Yes, sir.
That's like a death trap.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Not to mention many bus drivers are driving around way past 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, trying to get children home before. So this whole $150 system, man, it's just whacked
out.
It's
not working.
Yeah, it's whacked out.
Then, you know, to me, that's a waste of money. You know, there was a man that ran the bus system. His name was Bell L. Edwards.
Uh huh. We got about 2 minutes.
I didn't like everything that Bell Edwards, but Bell Edwards had that thing running smoothly. He had it running good. He didn't have to go to no all $100,000 programming, and you don't have to go to that right now. It's just that people want to be too sophisticated with what they can get the bus out, the drivers to do. The computers are not doing.
I think that was brought about by the so-called logistic experts, and I think the previous transportation director had a degree in logistics, and I think the current one that they have now have degrees in logistics. That's dealing with numbers and cutting costs and things of that nature. And so all of this was brought about talking about giving, and this it was brought about under the guise of giving the more experienced bus drivers better routes, to which many of them got worse routes.
Let me say this here. You know, the concern is not giving the bus driver better route because the bus drivers that had seniority were satisfied with the routes that they had.
Yes, sir.
If you want to do something for a bus driver, give them better pay. A bus driver that's coming in new should not be getting the same pay that a bus driver that's been there 20 years.
I agree. But they call that seniority because you get the route that you want.
Yeah, you get the route you want, but look at it. You got some air conditioning buses. You got seniority, but you can't get the air conditioning bus. Somebody just come off the street and begin to drive bus. They get the air conditioning bus.
Right.
Where's the seniority at? If you're going to have seniority across the board, it should go for everything.
Yes, I agree with you.
Transportation driving, your equipment, as well as your route.
Pastor Greg Tenney, I'd like to thank you for being a part of our community service segment on today. Again, we've been speaking with Pastor Greg Tenney, who was a former bus driver who might very well be coming back. He said he might come back. You don't know. But nevertheless, we thank you, Pastor, for your time. Thank you for your insight.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You for your input. Again, there are a lot of bus drivers, as you said, that are very disgruntled about what's taking place, not to mention the safety and the welfare of our children. So, again, we'll probably get you back on sometime as things unfold. We understand, as we said before, you were part of a news conference that took place. Please be our ears for that.